Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the special Passover Easter show of the Savage Nation. It's another one of those confluence weekends. As those of you educated in America when they were still in America before the monster arrived and gutted the school system and gutted America's culture and catered to the Iranians who will no doubt want to wipe Israel off the map. Before all of this, there was an America. And in this America, there was music. And in this America, there was civilization. And let me tell you something. This civilization has not gone away, and the civilization will never go away. No matter how many third world haters are brought in by this monster, America will survive. You see, the white man is a quiet man and a peaceful man. And right now, the white man is very, very quiet and very, very peaceful. And like many dictators before him, Barack Obama thinks the white man will remain quiet and subdued forever. Hitler made that mistake. Hitler boasted that his supermen, his Hitler Youth, would easily wipe the floor with the G.I. Joes that were being sent over, with inferior equipment, by the way, tanks that blew up on impact. But you see, it was every man who defeated Superman. It was the white man again who defeated Superman in World War II. And let me tell you something else. You push the white man only so far, you're going to have a reaction like you've never seen. Now, right now, there's no reaction. Right now, the jerks are walking around like it's yesterday. Like suddenly it's life with father. We read today that the corrupt criminal Obama administration is letting the Department of Criminal Security bringing in, with free transportation, children of immigrants from three Central American countries, free transportation, and a special refugee parole program, criminals, with a special resettlement assistance and permanent residency program. Now, why would he be doing that? Why would these children be brought in? Do we need them for any reason? They're going to get a free education, food stamps, medical care, living expenses. Even though their parents came here illegally, why would the State Department do this to us? Well, it's the same State Department and executive branch that just sold America down the river to Iran. A deal that could only be done not by the equivalent of, let us say, Chamberlain. You see, Chamberlain, many of you don't even remember who he is, that's okay. British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain wanted peace. And he wanted peace at all costs with Hitler. You see, Hitler was on the rise. And in 1938, the English wanted to avoid war at all costs. They had lost so many of their boys in World War I. They couldn't take it anymore. They didn't want to fight. Hitler wanted a fight real badly, just like Iran is looking for a fight. And so Chamberlain acted out of a belief that he was going to avoid a greater evil. He was not thinking of his place in history. He was not a narcissist lunatic who hated his country. Chamberlain was thinking of the Britain that he loved and the British men that he loved, a Britain that was disarmed, exhausted, and vulnerable. Now we have a president here acting out not of a love for America in his deal with Iran or flooding America with illegal aliens. He actually thinks he's replicating Nixon's historic opening of China. That would be one positive way to look at it. Some would say he's actually enabling Iran in order to diminish the Western powers. But let's take the positive look. Let's just say that this man in the White House thinks that he's a Nixon opening up the doors with Iran and that he will secure his place in history by permitting Iran to develop nuclear weapons. Here is a man, Obama, dealing from a position of strength which he refused to use. You see, the sanctions that were put on that criminal regime have actually hurt that criminal regime in Iran. And the falling oil prices added to Iran's vulnerability. They were weak. And instead of using the sanctions to pursue his original promise that Iran would not get the bomb, which this liar in the White House said many times, He has changed the game entirely. See, Iran's not going to get the nuclear weapons immediately, but it will be permitted to enrich uranium well beyond the 5% needed for generating nuclear energy. And they will be left with a capacity to create a bomb rather rapidly. So I want to begin by talking about the sellout of the deal with Iran and how the liar in the White House is trumpeting it as a great victory at the same time that Iran is saying, are you kidding? It's no victory for you. You gave us everything we wanted and you got nothing. Obama, desperate to appear like a real leader, called it a deal. There is no deal. It's full of slippery, Clinton-esque lies. If the deal does this, it will do that. If we get to a final deal, it will do that. If the framework is followed, it will do that. Who would agree that a terrorist Islamic nation would ever follow a deal? You understand what I'm saying? Now, what are we actually talking about? How does it threaten America? Nobody wants war. Nobody listening to this show is looking for a war. But if a man wants to break into your house and burn your house down, you have to go to war. Right now, the country is flooded with Muslims who would like to hurt us. Oh, yes, I just said the word. And if you don't like it, you know what? Send my notes to the FBI. I am so tired of hearing a cover-up for what's going on in this country. The FBI director himself a month ago said that there are terrorists in 49 states. Sleeper cells in 49 states except Alaska. How'd they get here? Through Obama's refugee and asylum programs. Why are they here? Why is he bringing 100,000 Muslims a month into America? Why is he allowed to bring 100,000 Muslims a month into America? Where the heck is the Republican Party? What were they put in power for? So the drunk could go on a junket to Israel? So that drunk Boehner could go on a junket to Israel and high five with Netanyahu while our country is burning? While this monster in the White House brings in 100,000 Muslims a month, nobody has vetted them. Nobody knows how many of them are terrorists. It's a religion that is opposed to Christianity at its core. It does not intend to live with Christians. How well do Christians get along with Muslims in Iraq? All of you starry-eyed idealists. Well, they get along very well once they're dead, once they're enslaved, once their churches have been burned to the ground. And this is also the beginning tonight of the first Seder for the Jewish people who still observe Judaism. God knows how many are left in the world. And what does it symbolize? It's supposed to symbolize the time Jews were slaves in Egypt and how they were spared by God with some myth about putting blood on the post and the first son. I don't believe any of that. It's myth for children. Most celebrations are myths for children, and in that sense, they're worthwhile. Santa Claus is a worthwhile myth. You understand what I'm saying? Children need mythology, but adults need reality. And so we're going to talk about the myth of Barack Obama's peace deal with Iran and the myth of the holidays and what they really mean to us as individuals. What modern Jew really thinks that they're descendants of slaves in Egypt? If I were a rabbi, I wouldn't be talking about thousands of years ago in Egypt. I would have my congregants understand that there are Azidis who are slaves right now in Iraq because they've been enslaved by Muslims in Iraq. And I'd be talking about liberating the slaves all over Africa who have been enslaved by Muslims, Christian slaves in Africa, the slaughter of Christians in churches. I wouldn't be talking about some dead history that was probably a fiction to begin with to a certain extent. What in the heck does it matter if we continue to talk about an ossified history that has no meaning today? We have enslavement today, only it's not Christians who are enslaving people, it's Muslims who are enslaving people. It's not Egyptians who are enslaving people, it is Muslims who are enslaving people. And so we have a lot to talk about tonight, don't we, on the Savage Nation? We have so much to talk about in this confluence of Passover and Easter. We'll talk about the deal with Iran and what it really is, that it's not really a deal at all. It was a complete and total capitulation. And how better to begin than with the speech of Neville Chamberlain as he came back from his deal with Adolf Hitler? Let's listen in.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Right, and shortly thereafter, Hitler invaded another country. Now let's listen to not the Chamberlain of our time, but the Quisling of our time in clip number 3.
Today, the United States, together with our allies and partners, has reached a historic understanding with Iran, which, if fully implemented, will prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon. As President and Commander-in-Chief, I have no greater responsibility than the security of the American people. And I am convinced that if this framework leads to a final comprehensive deal, it will make our country, our allies, and our world safer.
It will lead to a final solution, Mr. Obama. That is your intent, probably. A divided Israel, a weakened America, and an ascending Iran. And then you will have done the bidding that you were put in business to do. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savage Nation. We'll look at all of this today. Phone number here is 855-407-2822. This is the Savage Nation with a special Passover and Easter show. Let's go back to Handel's Messiah before we take a break on the program.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Paragons, let's start all over again. Can we go back to 2007 and expose Obama's Muslim sympathies and background? Can we go back to 2007 and expose his relationships with known terrorists like Bill Ayers? Can we go back to 2007 and demand that we have truth in advertising? Can we go back to 2007 and have that moron John McCain not say he's a nice man with a nice family, not a Muslim? It was John McCain who threw the election. Never forget what McCain did. He was way ahead in the polls, that old dolt. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. In one of those town hall meetings, remember those days of freedom in America when there were town hall meetings before this dictatorship metastasized into this disease that we're now living with? Remember the town hall meetings when people went there and demanded of their politicians more than the usual rubbish? A lady stood up and she said to McCain, why, he's a Muslim. McCain shut her up and said, no, he's not a Muslim. He's a nice Christian man with a nice family. Well, it doesn't matter to me whether he is a moon man. All I know is what he's doing to the country. He's not an appeaser of Iran. He's an enabler of Iran. He's worse than Chamberlain. As I said to you earlier, Chamberlain acted out of love for Britain. He was not thinking of his own narcissistic place in history. He was a Brit, and he had a tired nation. It was disarmed, exhausted, and vulnerable. Now, Obama has exhausted us with his lies and his assaults. He has largely disarmed the military. Not totally, but largely disarmed the military. Go back to what he did to NASA. He eliminated NASA. We're now passengers in the backseat of a Russian rocket. He has largely disarmed us. He's exhausted us with his footwork and his constant thrusts against our borders, language, and culture. He's rendered us vulnerable. And so Obama is not acting out of a love for America in his deal with Iran. No, my friends, not at all. Now, you could say, who cares about it? It's not going to affect us, even if Iran gets a bomb, so what? I've heard the argument, well, Israel has one, Russia has them, Pakistan has them. Why shouldn't Iran have the bomb? Well, I've never heard Pakistan, a Muslim country, threaten to annihilate another nation. Have you ever heard Pakistan say we're going to wipe a nation off the earth? No. Many nations have nukes, but they have responsible leadership. Iran is a terror state run by psychotic throwback religionists. Psychotic throwback religionists. Who does business with them and expects them to follow the letter of an agreement. They won't. Their religion tells them they don't have to. Their religion tells them you can lie, you can cheat, you can steal and get anything you want from a non-Muslim. Check it out. The best defense in certain statements is the truth. See if I'm wrong. Don't tell me what you learned at Harvard. Don't tell me what you learned from your liberal professors at San Diego State University. Just check it out for yourself and you'll see who's right and who's wrong. Now, there is a way for this country to survive. Given that Islam is more of a political organization today than it is a religion, some would argue it was always a political organization rather than a theology. It was a theology wrapped in politics, and they used violence and warfare to expand the religion. It was a combo deal. We have a religion in this nation that's dominant called Christianity. Only by turning the churches into political organizations can we survive. You'll say that's impossible. We have a separation of church and state. No, we don't. The churches have been turned into liberal organizations by Obama. They're the ones behind the flooding of America with illegals. Follow what I'm saying to you. They're already political. Make them conservative political.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Interesting combination, Handel's Messiah to 50s doo-wop music, isn't it? The doo-wop music is as much a part of America as Handel's Messiah is at this point. Unless you're a member of the religion of hate, I would assume it's quite inspiring. Nevertheless, let's talk about, here's the Iran deal for dummies. Let's put it to you that way. I'll do the Iran deal for dummies on the Savage Nation. It'll take about 60 seconds, and I'll give you the two sides. The first side is that of the idiotic liberal who went to Harvard or Berkeley, who thinks that it's a wonderful deal because we're going to avoid war with the terrorist state of Iran. They say the basis of the framework agreement is that Iran will only be permitted to enrich uranium at the Natanz plant, which is about 150 miles south of Tehran, while the subterranean Fordo nuclear facility will remain open only as a research and nuclear physics laboratory. That's the liberal view. And then they're going to say Iran's heavy water reactor at Iraq will be modified under international supervision. Which degenerate from the UN is going to supervise it, by the way? Huh? Western officials said that the two quisling sides had agreed that the comprehensive settlement would require Iran to dilute or ship abroad most of its stocks of enriched uranium, which is a lie, by the way, because Iran denied that already, and also suspend two-thirds of the 19,000 centrifuges it operates for enrichment. Allegedly, the deal will require them to be monitored for 10 years. And in exchange, Obama gave away the store. All sanctions related to the nuclear program, which severely hampered the Iranian terror state, will be lifted. And while the sanctions will be lifted by Obama on Iran, the sanctions will be lifted on Iran, thereby making the terrorist state even stronger. We're told by liberals with their heads in the clouds that the framework for those sanctions will remain in place just in case the terrorist state of Iran reneges in any part of the final accord. Now let me give you the real side of the story. I'm giving you the Iran deal for dummies on the Savage Nation. First of all, the Iranians will not follow any agreement. They're terrorists. That's number one. They've killed many of our men in Iraq and Afghanistan, in case you don't know it. That's number two. Many of you give money to the Wounded Warriors program. You could thank Obama's friends in Iran for that. They will say one thing, they'll do another, and they don't care what you say about them. This agreement will only enable them to proceed faster towards bomb building. You see, they already have 20% enriched uranium. But peaceful nuclear power facilities use fuel that is only 5% or below enriched uranium. Did you learn that yet from the New York Times? 5% or below is all the enriched uranium that you need for a nuclear power plant. And the Iranian terrorists already have a 20% enriched uranium supply. Now, there's only one reason to have 20% enriched uranium. You know what that is? That's the most difficult stage to arrive at. Going from 0 to 20% takes many years. But going from 20% to 95% plus is much easier and won't take very long. 20% enriched uranium is the first step to 95% enriched uranium, which is weapons grade. Now you understand the Iran nuclear deal for dummies on the savage nation. I think I should take calls, but I'm not ready for it. I think I'd rather have a little more talk about Passover and Easter. I put together for you a little piece that's a minute long on the meaning of Passover for Jews and non-Jews, the psychological meaning of it in the modern times for those who don't believe in the past and don't believe in what it all means, and you don't go to Seders anymore, who needs it with the broken matzah and the hiding of hummus and this and that. But there's an actual deeper psychological analysis of what the meaning of Passover is or what it can mean to people. From my perspective, this is my viewpoint. Let's hear it.
What a modern Passover Seder can mean to millions of people, which the ancient Seder may not connect in the same way, and I'm not against tradition, but I'm just saying that a lot of people don't even, you know, hear it anymore and don't want to listen, is that although people say, well, our ancestors were slaves, it has no meaning. What it can come to mean is we are still slaves in our own life, and we can also break the bonds of slavery in our own life anytime we want. So in other words, if you take it as a personal Seder, a personal Passover, you can learn to release yourself from your own chains, whether it be alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction, or God knows what it is, gambling addiction. You could say you are a slave, and you could decide that you understand you're enslaved, and you could decide that from that day forward, you're going to seek to break those chains of bondage, and you can become a free man or a free woman. I mean, that's another way to interpret what the significance, in order to give it eternal meaning and modern meaning. You have to take from the ancient to the modern and give it some modern meaning, or else it will lose its meaning altogether, as far as I can tell. To most people, it has to do with chicken chopped liver and fish and brisket and things of that nature, and drinking too much wine because you're supposed to drink 4 cups of wine. Basically, it's an excuse to get drunk around a communal table in a nice setting with clean tablecloths and good silverware to too many people.
Yep, that's one man's view of Passover for the secular modern person, is that we're all slaves. We're enslaved by something, and we have an opportunity, well, virtually any minute, but any day, but at this time of year especially, when the season is upon us, to say, I will be a slave no more and leave behind our slaveries. Maybe it's easier to say than do. I get that. But in that sense, you can say that that's the meaning of Passover. Another sense would be that on Easter Sunday, if every preacher and every priest in every church of this nation talked about the danger we are in from the flooding of America by 100,000 Muslims unvetted a month by Barack Hussein Obama, and the fact that Muslims will outnumber Christians in this nation by the year 2050 unless this immigration is stopped cold in its tracks, unless you say that, your descendants will be slaves in their own country. And if you think that that's too strong a statement, then take a look at how Muslims get along with their neighbors around the world, and then get back to me. Ask the Hindus about the kumbaya that goes on between Hindus and Muslims. Ask the Catholics of the Philippines how the Moros of the Philippines have acted toward the Catholics in the Philippines. Just ask anybody who lives in a nation where there is a large Muslim population how they fare in that nation. Now, there's always hope, and the hope is the women. The modern Muslim women do not want to be enslaved by the bums from the 9th century, who turned them into less than chattel. And we had a wonderful woman on this Savage Nation program last week who wrote a book about this, how that Islam needs to go through a reformation for the world to live in peace with the religion. She said it more succinctly than I can, and I called her the bravest woman on earth, which she is. And ironically, do you know who attacked her even more than the Muslim fanatics? The American liberal media. The American liberal media attacked this woman for being anti-Muslim when she herself was born a Muslim in Somalia, went to Denmark as an asylee, worked in a factory cleaning floors, and rose to become a member of the Danish parliament, and then came to America and has given the world one bestseller after another. And she, of all people, this modern Muslim woman, talks about the retrograde mentality of the religion, the retrograde mentality of the men in that religion, and what needs to be done, meaning a reformation. It's an astounding story, And maybe there's hope from the Muslim women who do not want to live lower than an animal. And so here we are. This is what we're living in. It's one man's opinion, viewing the holidays and what they mean. I'm very clear on what I see going on. I'm very clear on what I know needs to be done to save America. I know that we need a nationalist party to save America. I know we need a strong right-wing leader to save the country. I know all of this. Can it happen? I don't know. Miracles happen. Can this weak belly fish of a nation ever stand up and be a vertebrate again? I don't know. Now, fish is a vertebrate, but a belly fish is not my idea of a vertebrate. We've become like a nation without a backbone, an invertebrate nation. And so only by becoming vertebrates and standing on our hind legs can the nation survive. And that's going to require a leader who has a backbone, a leader who sees the danger, a leader who says, that's it, no more, we're closing the borders, we're deporting all those brought in since 2008. It's over. The party is over. And moreover, we're going to hold war crimes trials against those who did this to us. See, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you love to wake up to that? Someone who says that we're going to save America. Someone who says that our children will not be enslaved in the year 2050 because I'm putting a stop to it. Somebody who says enough is enough. We've been hollowed out and destroyed from the enemy within. The serpents who took over this country are going to pay the price for having done this to us. We're going to root them out of every institution in this country. We're going to root them out of the government. We're going to root them out of the media. We're going to root them out of academic circles. We will get the enemies within, and we'll save the nation. You know why I say this? Because a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable because he's known and carries his flags openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Cicero wrote that in Rome in 42 BC. Now let's go back to the leader of the free world in clip number 4. Let's hear that one.
Iran has met all of its obligations. It eliminated its stockpile of dangerous nuclear material.
Oh my God.
Inspections of Iran's program increased. And we continued negotiations to see if we could achieve a more comprehensive deal. Today, after many months of tough, principled diplomacy,
are you kidding?
We have achieved
golf.
The framework.
Get off! I can't take it. I can't listen. Sorry, I can't take it. I'm listening to a naked deceiver and liar. I can't listen to him. There's no point in deconstructing a lie. The whole thing is a package of lies. Everyone with a brain, anyone who has any intellect, anyone who understands the Iranian mentality under the mullahs, understands it's all a lie. The whole thing is a lie. Obama didn't cave into them. Obama gave them exactly what he's put in office to give them. Don't you get it yet? Now, so what's the end result of this? What is the goal? What does Barack Obama really want for America? Well, there are people who know what he wants. They're not those who go to Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. They're not those who go to the Bolt Law School or any of the other institutions of lower living. They have studied the history of radical Islam, and they know exactly what it wants. And they know that Obama is not only an enabler, but a fellow traveler. That's how they see it. I see it from admirals. I see it from generals. I read it on the blogs from generals who were fired by Obama. I hear it on YouTube pieces from admirals who have seen what is being done and are trying to warn us about the enemy within and what his goal is. And I will play it for you a little later in the show. And so we'll continue to do all together. Today, all of it together. We'll talk about Easter. We'll talk about Passover. We'll talk about the fake Iran deal. We'll talk about it. You'll call the show. And it'll be another Friday that is behind us. And tonight, millions of people around the world will sit down at the Passover table, which, by the way, symbolizes as well the Last Supper of Jesus. I don't know if you know that. Did you know that, Robert? It was at the Jewish Seder that Jesus went. That was his Last Supper. Most Jews don't even know that. They think it's about chopped liver and gefilte fish. They have no idea about the confluence of the two religions, Judaism and Christianity. They also have no idea that Christians are their best friends in the world. What bewilders me, that will bewilder me to my last days on earth, is how liberal Jews can have more empathy for Muslims who would throw them down a well than for Christians who are the only people who ever saved them. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Over a year ago, we took the first step towards today's framework, with a deal to stop the progress of Iran's nuclear program and roll it back in key areas. And recall that at the time, skeptics argued...
Every word out of his mouth, every word is unbelievable. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works, Ecclesiastes 9. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do with thy might, do it. Teach that to your children. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do with thy might, do it. Certain proverbs still have meaning. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. that's in Ecclesiastes 10. This is one I've carried with me for many years, Ecclesiastes 11. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. People think that if you do mental work, it's nothing, that's not hard. Wears you down pretty good, like it's like working in a coal mine, too. And then finally, Ecclesiastes 9 on this religious weekend. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness, is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. I know it's depressing to listen to this. It's funnier to listen to stupid women on E! Network whose clothing keeps falling off like that's exciting. Oh, look, another naked body. How many years can the degenerates of Hollywood think that the people will keep looking at naked bodies? Probably forever, for all I know. But nevertheless, we are in a new place in America, a brand new place when we see this naked treason. It's naked now, right in front of our eyes. Naked. Let's go to a quick call. I don't have time even for a call. Okay, I promise you the next hour it's open mic to mic. Unprotected. Not unprotected. We are screening today. Let's play Hallelujah from Handel's Messiah on the way out this hour, as we see America shrugging off God and shrugging off common sense.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I would say hundreds of thousands of religious Jews, maybe even millions, including fallen Jews, lapsed Jews, who think it's about bagels and lox or matzah once a year. They recognize that they have a religion. It's all a joke to them. They don't believe that old stuff about a God. No God in heaven. It's a culture. It's an ethical culture. I've heard that about Judaism. It's just an ethical culture. Well, it isn't just an ethical culture. It's the foundation of Western civilization, but I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm in one of my states of mind where I could be on the radio for 5 to 8 hours. I can do a Castro tonight. I could speak to 1 million people, 3 million people, and I could speak until midnight tonight in the mood I'm in. As you know, I'm very slow moving today. You hear it? So far, there's been no ups and downs. It's been very slow the first hour. Very to the point, but very, very slow. Because I am moving slowly on purpose. About what I'm about to tell you is probably my best insight of a long time. I told you that we had the bravest woman in the world on the show last week, named Ayan Hirsi Ali, who wrote a book called Heretic, Why Islam Needs a Reformation Now. And we'll all agree, yes, radical Islam needs a reformation now if the world is to survive. because Islam is on a collision course with every other person on the planet, Muslims included. And so that's why she wrote that book. Oh, yeah, we can agree they need a reformation. But I would argue that Christians need another reformation. And Jews, in particular, need another reformation. I don't know that I've read this anywhere. I haven't seen it on a blog. I haven't read it anywhere. So I'll give you an original Savage insight. Sometimes I have the prophetic gene kick in, and it's going to kick in right now. Liberal Jews need a reformation right now because they have a sense of entitlement based upon falsehoods. Write it down if you don't like it and send it to the Anti-Defamation League. I'd be very happy to argue with all of the professional Jews in the ADL. But let's put that aside for the minute. Let's take the mythology of Passover, for example. And mythology of Passover says that the firstborn was being slain. And in Passover, the ritual is that the Jews' first sons were saved. The Jews put blood on their doorposts, and the Lord passed over the door and did not allow the destroyer to enter their houses to strike them. And so allegedly the story is, the Lord slew every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh seated on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, and he and all the servants of the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no house where there was not someone dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron in the night and said, get up and go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. God said, go serve the Lord as you said. Take also your flocks and your herds as you said, and go and bless me also. And so the Egyptians pushed the Jews to get out of the land in haste. They said, get out or you'll all be dead. The Egyptians told the Jews to leave, or all the Egyptians feared they would die. Did you know that part of the story? The Egyptians actually got along with the Jews. And so the people took their dough before it was leavened. They took it with them, and they wrapped it up in the clothing on their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the instruction of Moses. And they borrowed from the Egyptians objects of silver and objects of gold and clothing. You see, at that time, the Lord disposed the Egyptians favorably toward the people, and they lent them. And then the Jews emptied out of Egypt. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. And a great mixed multitude went up with them, and sheep and cattle, livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had taken out of Egypt. For it did not become leavened because they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay. Nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. And the time which the children of Israel sojourned in Egypt was 430 years. And it was at the end of the 430 years, it was on the very same day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching to the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. And so that is the mythology. And Jews in America and in other countries grew up on the mythology that simply because they were Jewish, they were entitled in some way. They were somehow blessed. They were the chosen people. And they were better than everybody else. I know people don't want to hear this. I know it's very controversial. And I know Jews are going to get mad at me. But so what? Get mad at me. See if I care. This sense of being special, the sense of being the chosen people has gotten the Jews in a lot of trouble. It has brought about a lot of resentment from non-Jews. It's also made Jews have the false sense of security. It's also enabled Jews to have a false sense of security. That somehow, just because they're the chosen people, oh, God will always look over them. Well, how'd that work out in Europe in the late 30s and 40s? Didn't work out very well. They threw them all in the oven. All the children, the firstborn, the secondborn, the thirdborn, the fourthborn, thrown in the oven. It didn't matter. And so I say the Jews need a reformation right now to stop walking around with their head in the clouds and start living in the real world, where there are very real people who want them dead, want them off the planet, want them mort, gone, finished, kaput. And the only friends they have in the world are the Orthodox Christians. The only friends they have in the world are the fundamentalist Christians who the Larry Davids of the world sneer at, make movies about, mock, ridicule. The Harvey Weinsteins, the Geffens, the Katzenbergs, Every movie is a mockery of Christianity. Wherever they can get away with it, they stick a finger in the eye of the only people on earth who would protect the Jews, and have protected Jews, and liberated the Jews, by the way, from the concentration camps in World War II, in case you don't know your modern history. So there's a lot to be said about a reformation in Judaism in order to live in the real world. But what about the Christian religion? Why do I say the Christians need a reformation? Didn't they have a reformation in the Middle Ages? Yes, they did. But that was a long time ago. That was then, this is now. Christianity has so devolved into a form of social liberalism that it's no longer a functioning religion in the world in which we live. In the sense that a religion must empower a people for survival, Christianity is not that empowering for the Christian people. Oh, they have faith, and they have faith in God, and that's wonderful. But it's not the survival tool for the 21st century that it must become. And that's why I say that the reformation that Christianity must go through is along the lines of a political Islam. We must have a politicized Christianity in order for Christianity to survive at all. You say, how could you do that? We live in a nation that is not a theocracy. It's a secular nation. And there's a wall separating church from state. Is there a wall separating church from state when Obama has compromised the church to the extent that it's become a tool of his federal government with regard to flooding America with illegal aliens by buying them off with huge sums of money in order to, quote, resettle illegal aliens in America? Didn't we read about the Baptist Family Services getting something like $300 million or more to bring them in over the summer? How about the Catholic Family Services? How about all the other Christian sects that are rolling in dough like pigs in mud? Are they not acting politically? You say, well, yeah, they are, but they're not really doing it through the church. No, they're not. They set up sub-organizations that are not churches. It's not called a Baptist church. It's called the Baptist Family Services. That's the way the game is played. And so you understand what's going on. The churches have been compromised through money, through federal money. And Christianity, therefore, needs a reformation to survive. For the Christians to survive in a world of militant Islam, we must have a militant Christianity arise in this world. We must have a militant Christianity throwing off the mythology of turning the other cheek for Christians to survive. Because look at the Middle East. Tell me what turning the other cheek has gotten the Christians in Iraq. Tell me what turning the cheek has gotten the Christians in Syria. Wherever you look, turning the other cheek has gotten them a grave. Or have them set on fire. Their heads cut off. The Coptic Christians, their heads were cut off, if you forgot, by your friends in ISIS. Only a militant Christianity can survive the 21st century. Only a more militant Judaism can survive the 21st century. And you must fight fire with fire. A militancy must replace a passivity. This is the Savage Nation. That's my sermon, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Do you realize that this is more of an affront than pornography is to the vermin who run America? Do you understand that my talking about a militant Christianity and a militant Judaism as the only means for these religions to survive a 21st century where radical Islam is killing Jews and Christians and, let us say, non-militant Muslims by the thousands? Do you understand how revolutionary this is on AM radio? Do you understand what it is to play Handel's Messiah on AM radio and not be laughed off the air? Well, I hope you're enjoying what I'm trying to say to you, because this has been a turning point to take Easter weekend and to do a deal with those who would destroy the Jews. They're on record. They said it. We didn't invent that. They call Israel the little Satan, and just as you, the liberals, think America the great Satan. But there are those of us who know that this will never happen. Never in a million years will the Jews be annihilated from the earth, number one. And number two, America's not going to be thrown to the wolves, number two. I don't care how many Muslim hidden agents there are. I don't care how many convert to radical Islam in the prisons. I am telling you as I stand here, your nation will be standing 1,000 years from now. Because there's a change going on in this country. There's a change going on as we talk. people are standing up and shaking off their chains of liberalism. They're awakening to the fact that their future is at stake, their nation is at stake, their very survival is at stake, and they see the snake in the White House. They see what the snake in the White House is doing to this nation on a daily basis. Oh, you're not going to read it in the Daily News, you're not going to read it in the New York Times. We gave up those papers a long time ago. These newspapers, you can't even sell them for a dollar. Nobody wants them because nobody reads them. Now, why doesn't anyone read a newspaper? It's not that the newspaper's a dead institution. Newspapers are wonderful. Their biases are so anti-American that real Americans who have the money won't buy them. And the bums who do read them either have no money or they read them inside a machine. I see the bums in San Francisco. They get them on the floor in a cafe, the great liberals, and they run their finger down the newspaper, reading chapter and verse of Nancy Pelosi's mimeograph sheet called the San Francisco Chronicle. They don't buy them. Everything's for free for them. They bootleg anything they can, rip the government off. 95 million Americans are not working right now, but you wouldn't know that. They rigged the figures. And I'll tell you something, not everyone in the newspaper business is an idiot. Here's an editorial today from the New York Observer. They're not friends of Republicans. They're not friends of conservatives. The New York Observer writes this about your president. They said, Mr. Obama is an amateur who was enthralled with the sound of his own voice and incapable of coming to grips with the consequences of his actions. He is surrounded by sycophants, second-rate intellectuals, and a media that remains compliant and uncritical, close quote. That's the legacy of Barack Hussein Obama. That's the actual legacy, as opposed to the booming voice. The booming voice that loves to hear itself talk in the darkness. Anyone with an intellect knows he's full of it. Everyone knows he's sold out to Iran. And so that's why today is an important day. I gave a sermon today entitled, Only a Militant Judaism and Christianity Can Survive the 21st Century. I think it's one of my better ones. It will probably wind up in print very soon or an MP3 on YouTube. But it's all about God. And it's reminding you that this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs and traditions. Never forget that. The founding fathers were not Muslim, as Obama would have you believe. They were not Buddhists, as Obama would have you believe. They were not Hindus. They were not Zoroastrians. They were fundamentalist Christians. But from the 60s on, ever since the degenerates, Timothy Leary, Allen Ginsberg, and a few others, mainly the feminist movement, the degenerates have wrecked the nation and taken our nation through the re-education called the school system, the re-education called Harvey Weinstein's entertainment machine, the re-education machine called ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and MSNBC, to mock any reference or respect for God and remove it from the culture, expunge it, and replace it with pornography and hatred. And today the vermin, I mean the slenterets on the left, are going for the throat. They're going for the throat, and their timing is right on for them. The Indiana law, their overreaction and misrepresentation of this Indiana law is a deceit to attack Christians during the holiest week of the year. It is meant to raise an awareness that the God we worship on our respective Sabbaths is at the least not a good God, or at most a mythical creature that does not exist. And if you would stand up, if you're going to stand up for your deeply held beliefs, you're not only going to be labeled a bigot, your business is going to be threatened by the fascists with boycotts. And then your family is going to be threatened with death from the peace-loving, false liberals who are the totalitarian monsters of our time. But the worst part of it is this. The story is reported making heroes out of the bullies, fomenting their own form of anti-religious terror. In this first world of ours, the destruction of religion has gone on like the frog put into the slow-boiling pot of water. But the reaction to the Indiana law shows us it's not too late to jump out of the pot. The third world doesn't handle its anti-Christian and Jewish hatred the same way. They're less subtle. Take the Iranians. Take the Iranians, please. I'll be right back to continue on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Realize it's not rap music, doesn't quite have that beat. Bach didn't have bling in his teeth. Didn't pull his pants below his behind. But he kind of did the best he could in his time. I don't know about you, but when I hear this music, I'm moved almost where I can't speak. So I start to shudder at the greatness of the human mind. And to think of the garbage that Obama's flooding America with. I just shudder to think about what this country is going to look like in 50 years. Don't tell me there's another little Bach hidden in the group he's bringing in. Please don't tell me there's another little Einstein. Please don't give me that rubbish and foolishness. They don't come from the same tradition. Just look at history and you'll see I'm right. And the best defense against slander is the truth. Show me the literature of Guatemala. Show me the literature of El Salvador. Show me the musical tradition of El Salvador and Guatemala and tell me it's going to produce the same results as that which Europe gave this nation. So before you throw the European American out with the bathwater, you better think very carefully what nation you want to live in. If you want to live in a third world hellhole, you couldn't be doing a better job than permitting this enabler and this enemy of everything this nation stands for. You see, he has a goal. And it's not to be benevolent to third world children. It's to so dilute America that it's unrecognizable. To create a Tower of Babel so that the people are disunited. To create a 1,000-year votership of welfare recipients and dependence on the government. To weaken America, which he hates to his core. He hates this country. He was raised and steeped in the juice of hatred for America. And look what we're living through. We had an election. We had an election last November. The election was a repudiation of this man. It was a repudiation of all of his stinking left-wing politics. It was a repudiation of all of this academic garbage. And it only got worse because a fraudulent Republican Party emerged from that election, run by a weak-willed Boehner, who's now on a junket to Jerusalem, high-fiving with Netanyahu. A lot of good this did him. I'm glad Netanyahu spoke. It was very stirring. But look at the end result. It would have been the same result anyway. Netanyahu came in to try to warn us what Obama was doing. He knew what the deal was. He knew that they were throwing Israel and America under the bus. He knew it. And he came in to spread the word. A lot of good it did. 100 turncoat Democrats who a year ago were big friends of Israel. All of them collecting AIPAC money. They were real friends of Israel, American Jews included. They stabbed Israel in the back just as quickly as the other Jew haters. They stabbed him right in the back because Boss Tweed told him to do so. They joined the opposition to stab Netanyahu in the back. Lowlifes like Nancy Pelosi, one of the most despicable creatures to have ever been born under this God's sun, had the nerve to insult one of the great men of our time. A woman as low and as corrupt as she, in my opinion, had the nerve to cast aspersions on a man so 1,000 times greater than her that she couldn't even recognize his greatness in this polluted city that I love so much. And so I play the music of the Christian music that will be played in some great churches around the world. I'm pretty sure some great churches still play Bach, don't they, Jim? I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's still people who play the organ. I mean, I know many churches have brought in the guitar and the bongo drum in order to keep the attendees from falling asleep, but there are great churches who still play the Oratorio of Easter by Bach and the other great piece we played by Handel, which I still like better, by the way. And so as I say to you, there's only one solution. Only a militant Christianity and a militant Judaism can survive the 21st century. Now, I don't know how much longer I'll be alive or how much longer I'll be in radio. Nobody knows. I'm not saying that because I know something or it's not my Sermon on a Mount where I see something. I don't see anything. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. Am I right? But I will tell you as I stand here, for those of you who are my loyal audience, who've listened to me for years and years and years and can't live a day without me, and I know there are many of you. This is not a statement of egotism. It's a statement of reality. Many of you count on me. My ups, my downs, my depressions, my agitations, my manic moods, my strictly idiotic humorous moods, the whole man, you get the whole man, like a member of your, it's like a part of the geography of your brain. And you like me, I'm a part of your life. I will tell you that I hit a high note today with this sermon that only a militant Judaism and Christianity can survive the 21st century. It wasn't written. I didn't plan it. It emerged as it sometimes does in the show. Today was a high point. And many of you are calling the producers asking if you can get a transcript of that particular speech, and the answer is, I'm sorry, I don't have it. But I am working on a new book, as Ecclesiastes wrote, of the making of many books, there is no end. I told you that. I'm very biblical in that sense. I never stop writing. Ask anybody who knows me. In the middle of the night, my mind is writing books, just the way I am. Ecclesiastes 12. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. It's as hard as picking coal out of a mine. But that's the job of some of us. I write books. I pick coal out of a mine. And today, a nugget of gold appeared in the coal mine. It will be in a book of mine probably next October from the same publishers who brought you Stop the Coming Civil War. But I got to tell you something else, and I didn't mean to go into the book thing. I have a novel coming out. I've been begging the publisher to release it. It's ready, but they won't produce it until Father's Day. It's called Countdown to Mecca from St. Martin's Press. It's a novel. It's fiction in the Jack Hatfield series. It will probably be the last. I'm not writing another one. I won't do another one. It's exhausting. I can only be inventive so many times. That's the end of it. Then it becomes old. You know what I'm saying? So those of you who loved Abuse of Power in a Time for War, the third one will be out called Countdown to Mecca. The plot is so original that you'll say, well, how did he come up with this one? How could he have thought about the twists and turns? Well, it's not out yet. I wish it was out today, but it isn't. There's a picture of the cover on michaelsavage.com, and that's about it. But I'm not going to start reading from the book until May 1st. Because around May 1st, you're going to see how ahead of its time this book was. And all the ins and outs of that particular plot, I'm very, very enamored of. I'm very happy with it. It was good. But this whole idea now of a militant Judaism and Christianity will not be out until next October, God willing, in another book, sort of a, I wouldn't say a sequel to, but a continuation of Stop the Coming Civil War. In another title, it's going to be a blockbuster. Your legs are going to go weak and say, how did he do it again? How does this guy come up with these ideas? How does he keep doing it? How? Why? I don't know. What do I know? All I do is live. As it was written, life must be lived forward and can only be understood backward. So I'm still living forward, and I'm not looking backward. I don't believe in looking back. Don't look back, as they say. Okay, my friends, let's go on to the callers of the Savage Nation. As I told you, I'm very slow today, but I feel very much like Babe Ruth. I'm walking around the bases and knocking him out of the park. There's no need to yell. There's no need to scream. There's no requirement for righteous indignation. I don't have to scream and yell about the traitors within. You know it. You feel it. You see it. You smell it. It's palpable. We understand that. In fact, what I wanted to get to today and haven't yet, unfortunately, for those of you whose station drops me at the end of hour two, I have something coming up in hour three that you're not going to believe. I've got to find this for you. So, some people sent this to me this morning. It was a YouTube piece of 3 minutes long of Admiral James Lyons explaining how the U.S. allowed Iran to become the threat to the world it is today and about the total treason within and how it started under Caspar Weinberger. See, if you think it started with Obama, you're mistaken. This guy was there. He knew what happened. He knew that the mullahs could have been stopped. They had plans in place to wipe them off the planet when Jimmy Carter enabled them. And it was Weinberger who refused to follow Reagan's orders. I don't know if you know any of this. I didn't know it till this morning. But I'm going to play that tape in the next hour. And it's going to be worth listening for that one. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. It's about 17 minutes to the hour right now. Let's take a quick call. Richard on WABC, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Happy Passover, Dr. Savage. You, sir, are 100% right. As a passive Christian, we are nothing but sheep to slaughter. I believe in what you're speaking about. There are many Christians out there that have the view of militant Christianity. The problem is there is no leadership or structure for us to fall behind. It's just not out there. The question is where do I go? Where do I?
The question is, where is Richard the Lionhearted to lead you?
That's it. It's not there. I go to
even in the military. The devout, strong, wonderful militant Christians have been eliminated by Obama. He's taken them out of the military.
We are at a loss, Dr. Savage. We need leadership. We have the nerve, we have the desire, but we have no structure. That's the problem.
Yes, there's an army out there. I know that. A big army. There's an army of 30 million people ready to fight to save this nation. There are 30 million people who would do anything to save this country. They see it. They smell it. They know who the enemy is, and they know what's being done to them. They had an election. Their last hope was last November. Look what they got as a result. Look at what they got as a result. Where's the leadership? Where did it go? What happened? Where is the leadership to stand up and say enough is enough? We're not letting him flood America with illegals. We're stopping it. We're going to stop it. He's not bringing them in. We're going to impeach the Department of Homeland Security, and we'll impeach him if we have to. He is not going to bring them into this country. We're not letting it. We can't afford it. We don't want it. And that's the end of it. He's breaking the law. They could stop it. You know they could stop it. So why don't the Republicans stop it? Tell me why, Richard, tell me why they don't stop Obama from flooding America right now with a single stroke of a pen. Why are they not stopping him? Because they're complicit. This is exactly what they want. They're no different. Fundamentally, it's the same one-party system I've been telling you about. So you say, well, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. I'm only a talk show host. I'm one man. I know what I need. We all need the same thing. We're waiting for that strong leader to arise from this rubble of America. How can it happen when you have an FBI, a CIA, a DEA, you have every government agency spying on America? The NSA. Every man is afraid of his own shadow. Men are afraid to talk about a gun they bought. We are living in a reign of terror like we've never lived in under this thing in the White House. This thing in the White House has reduced us to a nation of slaves where everyone's afraid to say what they believe. Everyone's afraid to talk on a telephone. Everyone's afraid to send an email. We are living in a police state created by Barack Obama, the most transparent American in his own mind. I don't have to go on and on about who he is. I got to tell you that we can break the chains ourselves. And I don't know who the leader is, but he's going to come along. He will come along. Just as many of you believe that there'll be a second coming of Christ and Jesus will arise again, I am telling you as I stand here that an American leader will arise. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how. And he or she will lead the people like Moses led the Jews across the Red Sea. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Celebrating Easter on the Savage Nation tonight by playing some of the greatest music civilization has ever had the privilege to hear. All created by those despised dead white males. The heart of darkness is leading this nation, leading us into the abyss, step by step, day by day, breaking the borders, stepping on our language, trashing and dismissing our culture. Now, we heard last week we had a Muslim woman who came on and said that Islam needs reformation now, bravest woman on earth. But today I broke new ground. I broke new soil and I planted new seeds because I said something that I think is original. I haven't read it anywhere. I don't know where it has appeared before. I'm sure others have thought it. But I said that Christianity needs a reformation again, and certainly Reform Judaism needs another reformation. And that is towards a militancy, because the only way Judaism and Christianity can survive the 21st century is through a militancy. Nothing else will permit it to survive. The old concept of turning the other cheek, that really helped the Christians in Egypt as their throats were cut. That really helped the Jews as they went into the concentration camps. As the early settlers in Israel learned, as they had a Bible in one hand and an Uzi in the other, the only thing that helped them survive was militancy. Well, it's time we in America recognize the same thing. We're all waiting for Richard the Lionheart to appear. Where is he? Why do we not have a king, warrior, crusader type in America? Many of you think that liberalism, as embodied by Barack Obama, the Messiah, will save America and pave the way towards world peace. Well, you're wrong. History has taught us that you're 100% wrong. We learned it through Chamberlain's belief that his deal with Hitler would work. And we're learning it again that Obama's not misguided, but it's much different than Chamberlain. Chamberlain did it out of a love for Britain and a desire to avoid war. Obama does it as a form of self-aggrandizement and to enable Iran, incidentally. It's totally different, different story entirely. But many of you still live in that foolishness of pacifism born in the Vietnam War, and you think that that will get you through the next decade. You are mistaken, because you see there are new players in town, new players. It's not the communists today, it's the Islamists. And while the communists were guided by their doctrines, so are the Islamists guided by their doctrines. This doctrine is total. It would have you dead, mort, gone. Christianity wiped off the planet. Jews wiped off the planet, and to see a president doing a deal with an Islamist nation is beyond me. This is not a normal, ordinary Muslim nation. This is not Jordan. He's not doing a deal with Jordan, is he? No, he's doing a deal with the most retrograde throwbacks you can imagine, and he's allowing them to gain nuclear weapons. And that's why I'll repeat and close the show, the second hour anyway, with what I began the hour with, which is only a militant Judaism and a militant Christianity can survive the 21st century. Another big hour across America, be here or be nowhere, where I will play Admiral Lyon's speech on how Iran was allowed to become the threat to the world it is today.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation. If you just joined us, I would say that you missed, I think, a memorable 2 hours of the program. For those of you who have been listening, you know what I've been talking about. And, of course, in this hour, I will change it again. I'm actually going to rehash what we've been doing. But tonight being the first night of Passover for Jewish people and Sunday being Easter Sunday for Christians, the confluence of the two religions bring together phenomenal energy when you consider there are over 1 billion Christians on the earth, many of whom understand what Easter is. And that's why I've been talking about it, playing some great music such as Easter Oratorio by Bach and such, and coming up with some new ideas to the subject, by the way. And also talking about Obama's sellout to the mullahs of Iran. You want to talk about the news. In this hour, we're going to play a very, very little-known tape. Admiral James Lyons explaining how the U.S. allowed Iran to become the threat to the world it is today, going back to the age of Ronald Reagan, when Reagan gave the orders to strike Iran, and Caspar Weinberger refused to carry out the order. I don't know if you know about that. It's a little-known part of history. But you're going to hear it today on The Savage Nation. I want to begin, though, with you, the listener. Let's go to WABC in New York. Gloria, thanks for listening. What's on your mind, Gloria?
Hi. I'm on the way to my daughter for Passover, and I was listening to you, and you so expressed what we feel. I cannot tell you how many Americans, you know, are just like, we feel like we're in planet Mars. You know, like, what's going on here? And, yes, we're waiting for God to send that one person who will finally bring back the America that we love so much.
Well, we're all waiting for that American. And, of course, it's not the imposter who pretends to be the Messiah, the man who misled so many liberals into thinking he was so wonderful, many of whom are going back and saying, how did we get so fooled? But they won't say it to their friends because they're afraid to admit they were wrong. Yes, I understand. But don't you think we had an election in November which repudiated this monster? Didn't we say no to all of his fanatical academic left-wing policies? Isn't that what the election was? It was a repudiation of his fanatical policies, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
We had a college professor wreck America and wreck the world, and we said no. Instead, he made it worse after the election. It's almost out of a meanness that the man doubled down and tripled down on all of his mistakes, and he proved to the world just how right he was. Take a look at what he's done to the Middle East. Take a look at what he's done to Israel. Take a look at what he's doing to America, flooding us with illegal aliens who will never assimilate in 100 years. In 100 years, they will never learn the language and become Americans. Never. Why is he doing this? It's not out of love. It's not because we need these immigrants to perform tasks that the Americans can't perform, is it?
No, and some people say he doesn't know better. No, I'm sorry. At this point, it's just too many things piling up. You know, you can make a mistake once, you can be fooled.
Gloria, he's not making a mistake. It's naked for all of us to see what he is doing. He's nakedly showing his contempt for America and his desire to change it for the negative forever. He hates the country. He hates Israel. He hates Christianity. At least that's how 30 million people see it. They can't all be wrong. They see him as a greater threat to the world than Putin. Do you know that by the latest poll? Are they all crazy? I don't think so. Thanks for the call. Top of the Drudge Report. Record 93,175,000 Americans not working. 93 million Americans are not working. 12 million blacks not in the labor force. 56 million women not in the labor force. This is the great recovery under the liberal messiah. 93 million Americans not working under Barack Obama. His great economic miracle, his great five-year plan. 93 million. 62% labor force participation matches 37-year low. Did you hear this? This is the first time the number of Americans out of the labor force has exceeded 93 million people. So how do we get the idea that things are so well? A 62% labor force participation rate matches a 37-year low. But you would think, because the messiah is in the White House and the media is in his back pocket, that everything is much better than it actually is. But if you want to break it down to bread and butter issues, not everybody is buying a mansion in Miami. Not everybody is buying a $10 million apartment in Manhattan. Not everybody is buying a $300 million house in the Hamptons. No, there's another America. That's the real America. And yet they're hoodwinked. They're hoodwinked. Good news for the Obama voter base. Really good news, isn't it? And so if we hand out 35 million green cards to illegal aliens, will that fix the problem? Anyone who still believes in the policies of this madman proves my adage that liberalism is a mental disorder. I wrote the book in 2006. People are quoting it without quoting it, which is fine. Do the mathematics and see what's going on. And so the phone number here again is 855-407-2822. Let's take a call on KSFO Radio in San Francisco. Jeff, go ahead, please. You're on the air. Speak.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Savage? Good to be here. I basically just wanted to comment on your pontification about Christianity and Judaism needing militancy. Christianity and Judaism don't really need militancy, because if you truly believe in Christ-like behavior, compassion is the way to go, because you will be rewarded with the kingdom of heaven anyway.
Yeah, right. How did that help the Christians in Egypt as they had their throats cut?
At this point, I'm sure they're not worried about it because they're with God.
Well, I'm not suicidal. I don't think most Christians are either. I think that you have to have a realpolitik, considering that you have radical Islam and you're not living in the dream world of the 1950s with Pax Americana. What world are you living in? So you're living for the next world, not for this world, is what you're saying.
I live in both.
No, you're living for the next world. In other words, you're very much like the Muslims. Only the difference is they're cutting the throats, not you.
Exactly.
See, they think they get rewarded with virgins in the next world. What a religion that is. What a religion based on raping children infants in the next world. I love that one. You're not even allowed to say it? I never heard of anything like that. Who would tell people that? That if you kill somebody, you go to heaven and you get virgins in the next world to rape. What kind of world? Who would teach children that? What happened? Cat got your tongue?
No, I mean, basically, you're right. It's definitely a very sick doctrine. But
what I'm saying to you is your Christian pacifism will lead you to the grave, an early grave.
American.
It's not you're not protected by that. You're protected with a fantasy.
No, I mean,
it's wonderful to believe in heaven. That's all well and good. But I'm more concerned about life on Earth rather than life in the next world, aren't you?
Exactly. I'm currently active duty military, and I totally believe that we as a...
How can you be active duty military and believe in pacifism? How is it possible?
It's not about pacifism. I'm saying simply that Christians and Jews, if they truly believe in the Christ-like way, they will be...
Wait, hold it. You're on a battlefield facing Islamic terrorists. What do? You ask them to kill you?
No, it's not about that at that point. It's about survival at that point.
Okay, so but at that point, would you put your doctrine of the next world aside and kill him first?
Exactly. If it's about survival, then yes. But
well, I'm glad you said it, because I had Christian theologians on the show, I don't know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and we argued over this. They said you're 100% right. Nowhere in Jesus' teaching does it say you're supposed to lay down for the enemy. Nowhere. In fact, the exact opposite is true. But it's been so beaten out of the military by Barack Hussein Obama and the liberal cadres that he's installed at every leadership post possible, that people who are Christians in the military are afraid to express their religious beliefs.
Absolutely, but we as Americans, being the most dominant in the world stage, do have an obligation to stand up as Americans and protect those who can't protect themselves.
Is that why he's enabling Iran to get a nuclear weapon?
Well, he's not America. We are.
All right, look, I understand what you're saying, and my goal here is not to mock you, but I'm glad to hear that as an active member of the military, you're willing to fight for this country, and God bless you for that one. It is 15 minutes after the hour. The phone number is 855-400-7281. I got to take another quick call right now. Shauna on KSFO Radio. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I've been listening to you for 18 years, and I agree with almost everything you say, except when it comes to religion. But Christianity doesn't say lay down and die in front of the enemy. It says, actually, Romans 18, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That means as far as it depends on you. If someone comes to kill you, of course, you defend yourself. But I don't think we need to be militarized going around killing people first.
No, well, I didn't. When did you hear me say kill people? There's a big difference between a militant Christianity and a murderous Christianity. There's a huge chasm between the two concepts. No one said a murderous Christianity on this show.
Okay.
I said a militant Christianity, and a militant Judaism is what is required to survive the 21st century. I did not say a murderous Christianity, did I?
Okay, I wanted to clarify that.
Well, there's a difference between I'm very careful in my choice of words. There's a big difference between the word militant and murderous.
I absolutely adore you, and I'm one of those people that listens every weekend just to get my daily fill. But
I understand. It's good to take me on subjects where you don't think I'm being clear. I appreciate it very much. I do.
Thank you.
But again, remember what I said. There's a large chasm that's almost unimaginable between militancy and murderous. It's not the same thing. You can be quite militant and not murderous. You can be very militant and not homicidal. You see what I'm saying? They're two different things.
I agree with you. Do you?
But the world. But listen, Shauna. The world has changed in front of our eyes because of the massive influx of Muslims into America. Because of the lack of leadership by Barack Obama and the enabling of radical Islam, the cancer is now spreading around the world. They're joining forces. ISIS plus Al-Qaeda plus Al-Shabaab. They're all becoming one gigantic fascist Islamic army. Do you understand the danger we're all in?
Of course I do. But
So what do you think I'm talking about? We can't walk around like suddenly it's 1960 and we can just lick an ice cream cone and walk around in Bermuda shorts and all will be well. The world has changed under our feet. He's flooding America with 100,000 Muslims a month, none of whom have been vetted by any department. God knows what good that would do anyway. How many terrorists are hiding as refugees? How many secret cells have come into this country because of this maniac in the White House and his absurd liberalism?
So what do we do? That's the question. What do we do at this point?
Well, we begin by talking about it. Ideas are everything. Only by awakening the public can the sleeping giant shake off the lice that are destroying us and eating us alive. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Breaking news on the Savage Nation. Your State Department just rejected a call for Iran deal to affirm Israel's right to exist. Let me repeat that. A State Department spokesmouth of the lowest order dismissed a plea Friday, that's today, from Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu that the Iran nuclear agreement include clear recognition of his nation's right to exist. The State Department spokesmouth, another despicable creature discovered by the Obama administration, named Marie Harf, it rhymes with barf, when asked about a question about Netanyahu's concerns, said this to reporters. Marie Barf said, "This is an agreement that is only about the nuclear issue," a comment which indicates the Obama administration does not give a whit about Israel's security in a final agreement. She said, this is an agreement that doesn't deal with any other issues, nor should it, said Marie Boff. Sieg Heil, Marie. You would have been very, very happy working for Goebbels. But we have a Goebbels today. It's the press corps today. That's the Goebbels for Obama. They spit out all of his vileness, and they repeat it as though it's news. You know what? I have no control over what happens. I have no control over what God's going to do on this earth. I have no control over what Israel's going to do. I have no control over what Obama's going to do. I have no control over what Iran is going to do. All I can do is sit here and observe and comment. That's my job. I observe, I comment, therefore I am. It's that simple. It's that simple. It will play itself out. What's going to be will be it right now. What can I do about it? We're on the weekend of Passover and Easter, as I've said. It's a very, very highly religious time for Christians and Jews. Even the most secular Jew understands that he's part of something much greater than himself, perhaps even for a second or two, if there's actually still a rabbi who dares to chant in Hebrew as they put on the Woody Allen Seder somewhere in America, making a mockery of their own religion, saying it's really not a religion, there is no God, Judaism means ethics, all of that rubbish. They don't even know what their own religion is. But even the Woody Allen Jew tonight, for a second, understands he's part of something much greater than himself. And so we're talking about these bigger issues today because of the highness of the weekend. It's that simple. So what Israel will do is another story. I don't know. Is it all about Israel? Could be. Is this really about the Jews just wanting to drag America into a third world war with Iran? Many people say that, and they're saying we don't care about Israel enough to go to war for them. And I understand that sentiment. Let them fight their own battles if that's the issue. But that isn't the only battle that we're talking about, because Iran is on record saying we'll take out Israel first, and then we'll take out America. They're seeing Israel as a stepping stone, knowing if they can take down Israel, they can then take down America with all their sleeper cells here. Don't you understand that? That's the whole point. It's not about Israel. Iran is on record saying that Israel's the great Satan, we'll wipe it off the map, and then we'll take, Israel's the little Satan, we'll wipe it off the map, and then we'll take down the great Satan with a little help from our friends in the State Department. With a little help from our friends in the press corps. With a little help from our friends. We get high, we get by with a little help from our friends. Today. So that's
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The West is committing suicide, like the German wing's co-pilot. That seems to me like who's leading the West. Every day I wake up, I ask myself if the leadership is on antidepressant medication taking us into a mountaintop. And you know what? I'm not disappointed to tell you I'm right. It seems to me that our leadership is like the German wing's co-pilot, where they locked us out of the cabin and they're flying us right into a mountain. But nevertheless, I don't want to leave you on a depressed note. I want to tell you that a lot of people see the things I do, and maybe somebody will have the axe necessary to break into the cockpit and take the maniacs off the controls before we're all dead. How's that for an idea? Now, there was a great American admiral not too long ago named James Lyons. He fought in many wars. A real naval aviator, a real admiral, as opposed to the Potemkin admirals that Obama has appointed, women who have never steered a rowboat and now running the Navy, women who have never flown an airplane or running the Air Force. And he gave a speech about how Iran was allowed to become the threat to the world it is today. It's a little slow in the beginning, but it's only 3 minutes long. The last minute is the most important part. And I want you to listen very carefully, because if you think it started on Obama, under Obama, you're wrong. You'll find out that Ronald Reagan ordered a strike against Iranian forces way back when Khomeini was raging, and it was overridden by the defense secretary, Caspar Weinberger, according to this admiral. Let's listen.
We've had many opportunities to change the course of history. And it hasn't mattered whether it's been a Republican or Democratic administration. We failed every one of them, starting with Carter, with the takeover of our embassy. We could have cut off Khomeini and his Islamic fundamentalism at the knees. We were going to take Carg Island, and he rejected it. We could have walked in. The next time was the Marine barracks bombing. And you all probably wonder why we never responded. I won't go into the long detail, but the guy that sabotaged the strike, and I'm glad you're all sitting down, was the Secretary of Defense. Not once, but twice. Reagan approved the French wanted to do a combined strike, and Reagan approved it, and Weinberger wouldn't issue the order. I have personally talked to George Shultz and Bud McFarlane. They told me they pleaded with him, and he wouldn't do it. You have to say, who the hell got to him, or what got to him? I've never been able to get an answer on that. In the Gulf Tanker War in 87, we were going to bring down the Khomeini regime. You know, and the guy that sabotaged, I had Brief Weinberger at my headquarters at Pearl Harbor that summer. And this was going to be in August of 87. And the one who undercut us the most was our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Crow, at the time. You know, if you go forward and you look at, you know, we shot down by accident that Iranian civilian airliner a few months later. And what did Khomeini do? He said, I'm drinking from the chalice of poison. And he said, I have to make a truce with Saddam Hussein because the Americans have shown they're coming in on Iraq's side. Well, think of what the hell we could have done had we executed the strike we wanted to do in August of 87. You know, we all say we have to identify the threat. Well, I think the one who identified it the best was Erdogan from Turkey when he said, Islam is Islam. There are no modifiers. Democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective. He couldn't have said it any plainer. And until you recognize that Islam is a political movement masquerading as a religion, you're never going to come to grips with it. The Obama administration has a strategy. It's very simple. Any thinking American should be able to grasp it. It's anti-American, anti-Western, it's pro-Islamic, it's pro-Iranian, and pro-Muslim Brotherhood.
Yep, that's when America was ruled by patriots, when we could sleep well at night. James Ace Lyons, Jr., born September 28, 1927, a retired admiral in the United States Navy. He served as commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet from 85 to 87, served in the U.S. Navy for 36 years, including as commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. He was chief of naval operations, graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy. He was America. He is America. Now take a look at who's running the U.S. Navy now. She's never flown a Piper Cub. That's it. It's that simple. This is the whole story of America today. He has a lot of other things to say. He's very controversial. He has claimed that the Muslim Brotherhood has succeeded in infiltrating every U.S. security agency under the Obama presidency during a national press club conference in January 2015. He has alleged that John Brennan, the director of the CIA, was a Muslim convert. In addition, Admiral Lyons alleges that the Muslim Brotherhood was planning to start up a political party to influence American domestic politics. It's that simple. Lyons speculates that the death of Ambassador Stevens in Benghazi was the result of a bungled attempt to have Stevens kidnapped by Ansar al-Sharia to facilitate a prisoner exchange, resulting in the release of Omar Abdel Rahman. That was then. This is now. Phone number here is 855-407-282. His main point, democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective, said Erdogan of Turkey. Did you hear that one, Robert? Erdogan of Turkey, a militant Muslim on the slow train, was quoted as saying, democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective. And here in America, we sit like sheeple, thinking that democracy will save us. No, democracy is destroying us. Because it's not truly a democracy when you rig the system. It's not a matter of who votes. As Stalin said, it's who counts the votes. And of course, Obama's now rigging the machine like a tilted pinball machine, by bringing in millions upon millions of illegal aliens who you and I both know being brought in here to vote. And that's the story. 855-407-282. Let's go to KR on WSBA Radio. KR, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment on your comments about militarization, not militarization, a militant Christianity. And I think of it perhaps maybe more like an awakening is happening in Christianity. I work in the farm communities out here amongst a lot of Amish and Mennonite people. They're pacifists. They do a lot of relief work, but they don't fight in the military. But I hear a lot of people commenting about how they're not happy. They typically don't vote, but I hear people tell me that they are voting. They are going out and voicing their opposition. Not that it's
you're saying that. Let me see if I follow you. The Amish who are pacifists, who generally stay out of politics, are unhappy and they're becoming uneasy, and they're going to vote for which side, though? For the liberals or the conservatives?
No, absolutely conservative. They're very conservative people. But they are pacifists, but they aren't happy with the way things are going in our country. And they see it. They see it in a lot of different parts of the culture. And they see the eroding of the culture. And the Mennonite people the same way. I've heard many of them tell me they were going out to vote in the election. I said, well, the same thing. Are you voting liberal? But they vote or they think very conservatively, even though they don't believe in fighting. But they have served in other ways in military times. They've served in state.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're saying there's a slow awakening, but the question is, is it going to be quick enough to save America for the pacifists to realize they're soon going to be rolled over by the infiltration that has occurred in this country?
I don't know, but I think they...
I don't know either. I don't know either. It's a battle to the end here right now. I mean, the same great general that I just played, James Lyons, shocked the National Press Club recently when he said that the Obama regime has been fully infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood terrorism front group on every level. He said the pro-radical Islam group is in every level of U.S. security agencies. Lyons went on to say that the transformation of America has been in full swing ever since 2008. He also said that when Obama campaigned on a platform to, quote, fundamentally transform America, Obama has done exactly that. He also said there's no meaningful line between Islam and radical Islam. He talked about Obama's refusal to attend the recent march in France, attended by more than 50 world leaders to condemn Islamic terrorism. After the murders of cartoonists who had the audacity to lampoon Islam, Admiral Lyons said that act was a signal to Islamic jihadis and is one of many signals he sent over the years while in office. He said, there is no question we got a heck of a job ahead of us. With the Muslim Brotherhood penetration, every one of our national security agencies, including all of our intelligence agencies. He said that our lead intelligence agency is headed by a Muslim convert, a reference to Obama CIA head John Brennan. He said the new GOP majority in both houses were elected to stop the transformation of America, not to see how they could work with the president. See what I'm saying to you? You see what he sees? It's that clear to him. I would say he knows what he's talking about. What would you say? Just a right-wing nut? What would you say? He is nuts, seeing what's going on? We figured it out after 6 years. I've known about it, let's say, since he became president. Look back at my books and look back at my shows. Millions of USA citizens are not yet aware that he's an enabler or a Muslim sympathizer. That's the main thing. Every time it's said that he's a Muslim, they cover up for him. Remember he was on Stephanopoulos' show? And he said, as a Muslim, and Stephanopoulos jumped in and said, no, you mean a Christian? He said, yes, a Christian. You don't remember these slips? You don't remember John McCain covering up for him? The same Manchurian candidate, John McCain, who went to Egypt and told the Egyptians to reinstall the Muslim Brotherhood after they threw them out. The same John McCain who went to Ukraine and destabilized the Ukrainian nation and brought about the civil war that is occurring there. The same Manchurian candidate, John McCain, who seems to have a chip in his head. Not a chip on his shoulder, as he once had. When he was a young man, he had a chip on his shoulder. Now he has a chip in his head. Anyway, those are some of my random ideas and thoughts today on this April 3rd, 2015. And as I said, if you have been listening to the program for the last 2 hours and 45 minutes, I've given you a full Passover plate. In Jewish homes around the world tonight, there will be a plate that celebrates the salvation of the Jewish people in Egypt. The mythology of putting blood on a doorway and the firstborn being saved. A nice myth, but unfortunately, scientifically impossible. Nevertheless, on the tray, there is bitter herbs, an egg, greens, horseradish, a shank bone, and something on the sweet side. Each one symbolizes one thing or another. And tonight's show, I would hope, has given you a little bit of each, from the sweet to the bitter, from the salty to the non-salty, from the filling to the empty. When I come back, I'll conclude the show right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It's almost 6 o'clock on the East Coast. I guess most people are already in their homes or the homes of family and friends, gathering around the table, drinking, eating, enjoying, not knowing the danger they're in as the tidal wave rises. They're celebrating as though it's Pax Americana time and suddenly it's 1955 with Dwight D. Eisenhower in the White House. But it is not. Even the liberal New York Observer knows this when they said, Obama, they say, is an amateur who is enthralled with the sound of his own voice and incapable of coming to grips with the consequences of his actions. He is surrounded by sycophants, second-rate intellectuals, and a media that remains compliant and uncritical. Let's see what history has to say. Meanwhile, tonight on the Savage Nation, I gave you my meaning of Passover. I have a long version of it up on michaelsavage.com. But what you really all want, I haven't yet posted, which is the sermon tonight, which appeared out of nowhere, and I forget the title of it exactly. I don't know what I did with it. I pretty much remember it, which is that only a militant Judaism and a militant Christianity can survive the 21st century. My producer in Oregon, Doug, is working on getting that up as an MP3, and when it's ready, we'll put it up on michaelsavage.com for you to peruse. But you should know, as the show comes to a conclusion, that Obama did exactly what he was put in office to do. The Iranians will never follow any agreement. It's filled with legalistic outs when you listen to him. Listen to Obama in clip 3, and listen to all of the ifs, ands, or buts, and you know that he's a lawyer, and you know that he knows there's not a leg to stand on in this agreement. Listen.
Today, the United States, together with our allies and partners, has reached a historic understanding with Iran, which, if fully implemented, will prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon. As president and commander-in-chief, I have no greater responsibility than the security of the American people.
Are you kidding me? I'm convinced that if this framework leads to a final comprehensive deal... Okay, you see what I'm saying? You see the parsing? Classic, slimy, double-talking liberalism. You know the Iranians will not follow an agreement. It'll only enable them, that's what Obama wanted, to proceed faster towards bomb building. I told you before that you only need 5% enriched uranium for peaceful nuclear power. The Iranians have 20% enriched uranium. Did you hear me? There is only one reason to have 20% enriched uranium, because that means they're on the road to a nuclear weapon. And the hardest part is getting to 20% from zero. The easy part is to go from 20% to 95%. It's much easier. It will not take as long. 20% enriched uranium is the first step to 95% enriched uranium, which is weapons grade. So that's exactly what he has done. The deal that he did with Iran was made explicitly to make sure that they can have a nuclear weapon in our time. It's that simple. And remember what Erdogan of Turkey was quoted as saying. Democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective. And their ultimate objective is the takeover of the world by Islam. That is why I gave you a sermon tonight that should live in infamy. It'll live in infamy amongst liberals, but it'll be very famous amongst patriots. Only a militant Christianity can survive the 21st century. God bless America.